Ladies, this is to you first. Would you take comfort if someone came to you and said, "Your husband, what a great guy. At work, he's always in a good mood. He's laughing and joking. He's polite to everybody. He's kind to everybody. He is just admired and liked by everybody." Now, the only way you would really take comfort in that statement would be if he's that way with you. You say, "Yes, he is. He's that kind of guy, and I'm just ecstatic to be his wife." To the degree that he's not that way with you, there is a directly proportional relationship here. To the degree that you don't see that behavior, when you hear that from others, you don't take comfort in it. If anything, it raises resentment in you. Yeah, he could be Mr. Nice Guy, Mr. Fun, Mr. Jovial, Mr. Flirt with everybody else that doesn't matter a fraction of what his wife and kids do, but when he comes home, we get the brunt of his moodiness, we get the brunt of his surliness, we get the brunt of his argumentativeness, we get the brunt of his grunts. Yeah, yeah, I'm real pleased that he's real great with everybody else. Few things engender that kind of resentment than a wife hearing that her husband is just kind and sweet and wonderful to everybody else, and she doesn't see it, or at least not to that degree. Okay? You don't get comfort in that. So my first point is, don't get comfort in that when it's said about your kid, too. Don't feel good about the fact that, "Oh, I must be doing something, right? He's good for everybody else," because you could use that with your husband. "Well, I must be pretty good as a wife because he's kind to everybody else, so at least I send him off in a good mood." First thing. Second thing, here's where it becomes a little harder hitting. We cannot change other people. We can nag them. We can attempt to persuade them. We can plead and beg, cajole, manipulate, threaten, try to throw consequences at them. But in the end, you can't change it. Short of the point of a gun, it's hard to change somebody. And even with the point of a gun, you're not going to change them with their cooperation. So the question becomes, do you treat your family members less well than you treat others? Do you say things to your children and your spouse in a tone, in a level of frustration that you would never say to anybody else? Your priest would never hear you talk to him that way, and you shouldn't, obviously. But he would be shocked. Well, he wouldn't be shocked if he hears you in confession. But your friend, your best confidant, would be stunned to see that side of you. Why? Ask yourself the question, why? Why do I feel that it's okay? Why do I feel that I'm more likely to do this? Why do I think that somehow, some way, this is normal to act like this at home with my kids, with my spouse, and I'm on my best behavior elsewhere? Why is that? That's something we really got to look at. There is a sense out there that somehow, some way, it is permissible to let your hair hang down more with your loved ones. Well, it may be permissible because they permit it. Other people are not going to have the tolerance for you that your loved ones do. You try doing that with your friends and coworkers and family members outside of your immediate family, and you're going to find out that the majority of them are going to either withdraw from you, avoid you, retaliate against you, or expunge you from their lives because they don't like this tone that you've used the last year with them. Your family puts up with it. Your family's not going to go anywhere. Your family's bound to you. Your family's more understanding. Your family does it to you too, so they kind of see that's how we all treat each other. That doesn't make it right. One of the things we need to do is perennially ask ourselves the question, how do I treat the people I love most? Do I put in as much effort controlling my temper with them as I do with my acquaintances? do I compliment them as quickly and as easily as I might compliment somebody else? Do I really watch my mouth with them? This irritating kind of snappish, peevish tone that I'm likely to use with them, that with anybody else I'm very careful, very careful. They're not going to see that side of me lest they think ill of me. I want them to like me. I want them to admire me. I want them to think what a good person he or she is. Some of that is very natural. However, just because it's natural doesn't mean we should go with it all the time. Just let it happen. The question needs to be constantly asked every day. How big is the difference between the way I treat the people that I am supposed to, or that I proclaim that I love the most, and the way I treat other people who don't mean a fraction to me emotionally as what my family does? There's a certain dichotomy that occurs. On one hand, the average parent would die in a second for their child. Just would. Flat out would die in a second. Nobody on earth would lay claim to a parent's life quicker than a kid. No doubt. We powerfully love those children. Why is it that they're probably the people on earth we talk to worst? You know, I'm big on kids respecting parents. I'm big, 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 big on that. Big, big. Big to the eighth power. But I also struggle with the way we parents seem to think it's okay to talk snotty to our kids. It's one thing to discipline, and to discipline with great strength. It's quite another to discipline with a snotty, harsh, frustrating attitude. Now, granted, I understand that nobody in the world is as childish on a regular basis toward us as our kids are. We don't deal with anybody as difficult on a day-to-day basis as our children. I understand this. Kids, by their very nature, are partially socialized, partially moralized, and they tend to bring in they bring out the worst in people. Okay, got it. I guess what I'm saying, though, how much effort do we put into not letting them bring out the worst in us? Perfectly understandable that we talk snitty, snotty, snooty to our children. Perfectly understandable. But what isn't perfectly understandable is how much do we fight it? How much do we apologize? You know, if you unload on a kid, yeah, you didn't have any right to unload on them. You might have had righteous anger. That's okay. But how much personal attack was interwoven in all that righteous anger? Apologize. Later, when you're calmer, apologize. Not for the discipline and not for your feelings, but apologize for the way you talked to them, the way you handled it. Somehow there's a creeping mindset that says, it is okay, it's even morally okay, to let our guard down with our family and our children. Because, well, that's kind of what you do. Family's family, and you don't have to be on your best behavior. And that's part of the reason why family's family and acquaintances and friends are acquaintances and friends. You know, you try harder with acquaintances and friends, and with family, well, they all know who you are, and they see you warts and all, and they accept you warts and all, and yeah, but wait a minute. Just because they accept us warts and all doesn't mean that we have to let our warts and all come out. It's good to know that they're not going to write you off, like I dare say many of your friends and acquaintances and colleagues at work would. You try talking to them a fraction of the way you talked to your 8-year-old kid one time. Ha! You'd quickly find yourself not worrying about who to go to lunch with because you wouldn't have nobody to go to lunch with. You'd have to sit and listen to me. Ha! That'll fix you. Talk about natural consequences. But to step back and say, if I proclaim to love these people more than I proclaim to love anybody else on earth, which most of us do, then, as our Lord said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. In other words, you'll do the good things I ask of you. Well, if you love your children, do good by them. There's a huge difference between strong discipline and nasty discipline. Huge difference. Most people confuse the two.